Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that
a...
means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in 6 seasons, it's one ball of cheese. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And here we are live from the Allstate Skyline Studios. And I'm in the new studio facing Navy Pier here. Dave, this is my first time in the studio.
It's a beautiful room where they both are.
Yeah, we did July 4th in the other studio. Where it's like voyeurism, looking into people's apartments over there. But now I'm looking into a hotel.
That's why when you look over there, there are the shades are all pulled down now.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if the hotel next door, because the Swiss Hotel is next door, I wonder if you can see into this room, because it's bright in here. Like, I wonder if you can see that there's a
room. Could.
You think so?
I imagine so.
Okay, I don't know if the windows are dark.
You know, especially this time of day, the evening or night when it's dark outside, and you're looking in and there's a bright light in there, you can see it.
That could be. Mm-hmm. That could be. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Excellent.
Doing well.
Excellent.
And here we are, almost the middle of July, All-Star break this week. That means the middle of summer. That also means you have to get out and enjoy every moment.
Yeah, you know,
it will be gone before you know it.
My daughter said, Dad, we're behind. we got stuff to do. She said, we haven't done miniature golfing at Novelty Golf. She goes, we haven't gone to the drive-in, Dad. We haven't gone to the drive-in. The drive-in we do in June. We did not go to the drive-in.
And she remembered.
She's clear as a bell.
She remembered that and no miniature golf. Although you've been out and around.
Oh, we have.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But still there's milestone moments. That she expects.
Yep.
And I do, too. It's tradition. I like tradition at the holidays. I like tradition in the summertime, too. So,
and let me tell you, friend, the older you get, the more you appreciate those traditions.
I know. But the drive-in's the top of my list. We got to do the drive-in soon. I got so much history today, Dave. I can't stand it. So let's start with this one.
I can't stand it.
1858, in the early days of Chicago, volunteer fire companies were handed the task to put out fires in Chicago. In October of 1837, a building on Lake Street burned to the ground with the loss of 23 lives. The result called for an official group of paid firefighters. A year later, calls for the fire departments to be disbanded became a reality. And then finally, the official Chicago Fire Department, as it stands today, was established in 1858.
How ironic that that first fire was in October and the Great Chicago Fire was in October.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Hmm.
Yeah. October's a bad month for fire.
Volunteer fire department.
Volunteer fire department. All right, so 1829.
The typewriter song.
Jerry Lewis. That's right, the Jerry Lewis song. William Austin Byrd patented the typewriter in 1829. This is the only thing in my mind that I associate with the typewriter is this Jerry Lewis bit. And even though you can't see it, which is very visual, most people know where this is from.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. He was brilliant. They just did an auction of all of his personal items about a week ago in Las Vegas.
I think the music is by Leroy Anderson, the same person who wrote Sleigh Ride. Yeah, and then Lewis just turned it into the bit that's, now a classic thing.
Absolutely love that. 1873, here on National Ice Cream Day, Louis Pasteur received a patent for the manufacturing of beer and the treatment of yeast, but then in 1904, the ice cream cone. Oh, there we go.
Ice cream and Budweiser.
By the way, when I think of yeast, I think of Three Stooges trying to make beer. We all put the yeast in.
Yes.
Do you remember that now? Yeah.
And the keg is rumbling, and yeah. Curly says, "Be still, my heart."
See, they were the first microbrewers right there. There we go. 1904, the ice cream cone was created during the St. Louis World's Fair by Charles Menchie's. And what's really funny now that I associate that, there's an ice cream chain called Menchie's. I wonder if that's named after him. I should look that up. They do like a frozen yogurt thing and then like a topping bar and all this other stuff. Do you know Menchie's? Are you familiar
Menchie's.
With
it? I've heard of it. I haven't personally gone to
There was one in Park Ridge, but we visited one when we were out in Florida this spring. And it's my daughter's, one of my daughter's favorite places. I think I discovered that they opened one. It might be up in Algonquin. But yeah, Menchie's. Charles E. Menchie's. 1913. All right. You know Billboard magazine, right?
Oh,
right.
I used to read it every week.
So Rolling Stone was more for music lovers. Billboard was really for the business. And you're right. I read it when it came. I was in the music business for years. So when that came in the mail, I mean, that was like appointment. Like I grabbed it and I sat down and I read it almost cover to cover.
Sure.
Well, 1913 was the first Billboard top 10. It was called Last Week's 10 Bestsellers Among Popular Songs. And Dave, you remember what the hit was that week.
Which which year?
It was 1913.
No, not quite.
It was called Melinda's Wedding Day, and that was number one. And here's an old cylinder with that song. Oh, it's a little creepy. Let's take a listen.
It's a holiday. Everything is gay. Get the band to play. Move the crowd away. Ephraim, Greenway, Glendine. And they're going through on their honeymoon. Lord, look who's here. Now they're coming.
I actually have a cylinder machine that was my uncle's from 1901.
I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah, that I've had for a very long
time. I've wanted to get one of those, and they're very expensive.
They are.
Especially, you know, if they're in good working order. I've got a couple Edison cylinders at home, actually.
Dave, this
just for display.
This one, as you know, it looks like it was just bought.
I know.
He took very good care of it.
It's beautiful.
But some of the cylinders, they sound very creepy. You got to have it at the right speed. You got to do all that right. So that was called Melinda's Wedding Day. That was number one in 1913. Let's listen to this week's number one hit.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing.
Is that Melinda?
This is, who is this now, Curtis?
This is Nicki Minaj, or not Nicki Minaj, excuse me, Cardi B. I like it.
Cardi B's hot right now. She is hot, hot, hot.
Ariana Grande just released another one, too, so I'm assuming that'll come up in some point within the next few weeks here, so...
So, but that's a big difference between those two eras, Dave.
I'd say just a little bit.
Just a little bit. All right, 1925, and I know you know a little bit about this, not because you were there reporting on it, Dave, but you know the history of this. 1925, the Scopes monkey trial ended. John Scopes was found guilty of teaching Darwinism. Now, the trial predated television, of course, but radio was there. So from July 13th, to August 21st, WGN provided live coverage.
July 21st,
from July 13th to July 21st, WGN provided live coverage of the trial directly from the courtroom in Dayton, Tennessee. And who was there reporting?
I think it was Quinn Ryan.
It was Quinn Ryan.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I would love to hear if there's any audio from that, and I doubt that there is. There's actually old film footage of part of that trial, because it got so hot and there were so many people in the room, in the courtroom, that the judge moved the proceedings outside.
Wow.
And
wow.
This was just after the judge had ruled all of Clarence Darrow's scientific testimony irrelevant. In other words, Darrow, who was the defense attorney for John Scopes, brought in some scientists to say, here's, you know, this is what happened, and these are scientific evidence and so forth of evolution. And the judge said, well, no, can't use that. He ruled it irrelevant. So they had no other recourse but to put William Jennings Bryan, the prosecuting attorney, on the stand, who was, really what you would call a fundamentalist at the time. And they moved everything outside. And that became the starting point for the play and then the film Inherit the Wind.
Now, Paul Neal was the engineer here at WGN at the time, and he set up all the microphones. Is Paul still working here? The project cost over $1,000 a day for the telephone lines.
That's big fees. Money.
That was huge money back then. WGN got special permission to arrange the courtroom around the microphones to make the broadcast possible. Listeners across the Midwest tuned in and heard their calls, many for the first time. I mean, this is, you know,
they also set up a network.
Yeah. Very early days, very groundbreaking. And there is a microphone very similar to the one that was at the Scopes Monkey trial in a showcase in our green room here at WGN.
It's been around here for years. And there are various pictures of Brian and Darrow and the courtroom where you can see the WGN microphone in it, in the pictures.
I think we have a newsreel. Let's take a listen from the Scopes Monkey trial.
In 1925, biology teacher John Scopes spiraled to fame in the legal battle that became known as the Monkey Trial. Whether a man was descended from the monkey or just making a monkey out of man was fought in a courtroom that challenged the truth of the Darwin theory of evolution. The existence of man in the prehistoric world was denied, for according to the Bible, life began with Adam and Eve. An atmosphere of carnival invaded the sleepy little town of Dayton, Tennessee.
So this was a recap newsreel decades later that was done. But yeah, that was. Is there any audio to that?
I doubt it.
Not from
but you know, Dave, I've been there. I've been to the very building.
That's cool.
Inside the courtroom. I think I may have pictures on my Facebook page, but when we were taking a vacation in the South a few years ago, I wanted to make it a point to stop in Dayton, Tennessee, and to this very day, that courthouse and that courtroom are still used in Ray County or Rhea County, Tennessee.
That's fantastic.
And there's
That's cool that you went and visited that place.
Yeah.
That is very
cool.
It's
there. It's there, and there's a museum. It's a cool little town. Wonderful couple of, there's an old diner restaurant that's across the street from the courthouse. You'd love it, Dave.
That's very cool. I'll have to venture out there and check that out, man. No, seriously. 1934, outside Chicago's Biograph Theater, Public Enemy Number 1, John Dillinger is mortally wounded by FBI agents. And here we do have a newsreel from 1934.
They got him outside this motion picture theater. Wild excitement. Dillinger killed by federal agents commanded by Inspector Samuel Cowley, assisted by East Chicago, Indiana police. The belongings of Public Enemy Number 1. Three men couldn't carry Dillinger's collection of deadly weapons seized at various places. He had this automatic in hand when killed. His fingerprints, the infallible sign. He spent $5,000 to have them altered with acid, but it failed. 300 points of similarity remained. His face made over. But the G-men recognized him, the eyes and the shape of his head. Tagged in the morgue. Dillinger's pal, Babyface Nelson, murderer of Agent Baum. He was driving with Gangster Chase. A gun battle with Special Agents Hollis and Cowley.
And there you have it. Look at that, man.
Dillinger.
Dillinger.
Not Dillinger.
I know, I thought
Dillinger.
This was very interesting,
John Dillinger.
Too. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
1935, that very next year, the first broadcast of Gangbusters on NBC Radio, then CBS, and then it spent its last 2 years in 1955 and 57, aired on Mutual Broadcasting Network right here on WGN.
My dad liked Gangbusters.
Yeah. That's a cool show. That. Yeah, yeah. Carl plays those once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
1938, instant coffee was invented. Here's Lucy and Desi for Instant Senka.
It's time to tell everybody about a hearty coffee that you can drink as strong as you like, Instant Senka.
Oh, well, now remember, dear, these Instant Senka commercials only show close-ups of hands.
Why do you think? I had 3 manicures today.
Oh, shh, you're on. Oh.
Are you interested in a two-fisted cup of coffee? Then come closer. You want Instant Senka coffee. It's all coffee. Gives you real coffee flavor 100%. Drink all you want and still stay steady as a rock. Honey, the rock. Oh. The rock. Drink all you want.
I'm still staying steady as a rock, and it can't disturb your sleep either because it's 97% caffeine-free.
So?
Product shot.
Come on.
Product shot.
Oh, Instant Sanka, the hearty coffee you can drink as strong as you like. It's wonderful. You'll like it. You'll love it.
Commercial's over, dear.
Oh.
So that those are when they were doing obviously live commercials on I Love Lucy.
Was that was for I Love Lucy?
That's correct.
Because they did a program that carried over the last years of I Love Lucy.
Yeah, the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour.
Lucy, that's what it was. Yeah.
1944, the Democratic Convention opened in Chicago. U.S. President FDR was nominated for an unprecedented fourth term at that Democratic Convention. 1961. And I love this. TWA showed its first in-flight movie. That was the first in-flight movie on a plane.
Wow. Had to have been on some sort of film.
I'm not ready for that. It was called By Love Possessed. Lana Turner, Jason Robards, George Hamilton, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Hamilton called it an Ivy League Peyton Place. Let's take a listen to a little classic TWA commercial.
If you'd like to find a better way to fly on business, TWA has news for you. On most airlines, you don't have the comfort of a special business section. But on every TWA wide body, you'll find wider seats and fewer of them in TWA's Ambassador class. It's only $10 to $30 more than coach, and it's roomy and comfortable.
Even if you're next to someone as big as I am, you are.
There you go. All right, here's another one. 1973 game show Match Game debuted. It's 1970s version, which I love. I still watch that today. I still watch it on the Game Show Network.
On Game Show Network?
Yeah, it soon became the number one rated daytime television program from 1973 to 75, as well as the number one game show from 73 to 77.
Wasn't it Gene Rayburn?
Get ready to match the stars from The Love Boat, Bernie Capel. Red Summer, Charles Nelson Reilly, from Barnaby Jones, Lee Merriweather, Richard Dawson, and Betty White, as we play the star-studded Big Money Match Game 78.
Yeah, so Gene Rayburn was the host, always Charles Nelson Reilly, always Brett Summers, always Richard Dawson, and very often Betty White. And then they would always have somebody from the 70s, from All in the Family, Rob Reiner, from Barnaby Jones.
Buddy Ebsen.
Yeah,
well, Merriweather was on Barnaby Jones.
Yeah, she was.
She was his secretary.
That's right. She was also Catwoman in the Batman movie, of course. Here's a classic Match Game moment. You know, remember they used to do the dumb Dora? How dumb was she? Let's take a listen.
All right.
Well, he just cracked himself up.
You go to the round two, and Kimberly, you're ahead. You go first.
A.
Dumb Dora is really dumb.
How dumb is she?
She's been in kindergarten so long, she's the only girl in class with blank. You don't play.
I don't play.
All right, write it down on your card, Dave.
Dumb Dora is really dumb.
I can't say it.
She's been in kindergarten so long, she's the only girl in class with blank.
Gray hair.
Let's see what they have to say.
She's too smart for the room.
It's a good answer, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is a good answer.
Right
here.
Uh-huh.
I think Charles may have said something else.
I feel very medical today with a hysterectomy.
Oh, God.
Shouldn't allow Dick Martin anywhere.
She's the only girl in class with...
Oh, it's me. I'm sorry. Maternity dress.
A maternity dress.
Yeah, nobody said what I thought they were going to say, Dave.
All right, me neither.
Here's the last one. Last thing I wanted to talk about. So Blockbuster Video, you know, they closed most of their stores years ago, right?
There's only one left now.
Only one left. So there was two stores in Anchorage and in Fairbanks, Alaska, that are shutting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then they're going out of business sale. But this leaves one solitary Blockbuster location in Bend, Oregon to wave that yellow and blue banner for as long as it can. So during the last 5 years, these three locations operated as licensed franchises through whoever owned the naming rights, which I think was the Dish Network, and they were able to stay in business. But, you know, a lot of them renting video games now and everything else, but it's amazing. You know, I see family videos out there too. I'm thinking, who goes in there and rents a video anymore?
I know.
And, you know, I don't get it. But again, one Blockbuster is left and operating in Bend, Oregon.
I'm going to go out there and rent a film.
Just for fun, absolutely.
Rent a VHS cassette.
I like that. I like that.